Talk Tonight is on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards, and this next topic, we're going to be talking about how Christmas dinners have been ruined due to family or friends or food, and I want to hear your stories at 1-855-633-1010. This next topic makes me wish that Jim was here, because you just know Jim has been at some pretty gnarly Christmas dinners, and possibly has been the catalyst for great, great destruction at dinner. And I mean that with a great deal of love. I have a great deal of affection for Jim, but you just know he's caused trouble at Christmas. And he likes to tell those kinds of stories. I was thinking, I was wondering if I have a story, and I don't really have a story about a terrible Christmas dinner that's just gone completely sideways. I do remember being at a Christmas party. It was on Christmas Day. It was a Christmas get together for a bunch of us who were kind of stragglers who had no place else to go. When we were there, there were a bunch of people from Finland there. This was years ago. And they didn't speak very much English, but they were amazing. They were so much fun to hang around with, and we were getting by as well we could. And I went over to the buffet, and I got a bunch of meatballs. And I was walking past them, and I could hear them speaking in Finnish. And the only thing that I could pick out of what they said was mad cow disease as I walked by with my meatballs. And so then I thought, you know, it didn't ruin dinner for me. I still ate the meatballs, but it didn't make me feel really comfortable about it. So if you have any stories about a terrible Christmas meal or a Christmas day that was ruined due to family or friends or food or whatever it might be, give me a call. 1-855-633-1010. I'd love to hear your stories. I looked it up online to see what I could find, to see what stories were out there. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have bad stories. Niall, age 27, on Vice.com says, I spent the first hours of Christmas Day in the hospital. Let's just look down the thing. I had to spend the day on steroids. It was a box of live locusts. There's lots of different kinds of wild stories here on Vice.com about terrible Christmases. But I see that we're getting a couple of phone calls here. I don't know if I should go to the lines or not, but I'm looking for your terrible Christmas stories, how things were ruined by family, food, friends, that kind of thing. 1-855-633-1010. I have Francis on the line from Toronto. Hi, Francis. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm actually from Montreal.
Oh, you're from Montreal. Okay. Well, welcome.
We had a country house up north of Montreal quite a number of years ago. We had invited some friends and family were there for Christmas. And there was a bad snowstorm, and so all the power went out. And I had the turkey in the oven.
Oh, no.
And I forget, I think we just took out some sandwiches, bread, we made do, but then our friends couldn't go home because of the bad storm, so one slept on the Chesterfield, one slept on the floor, one slept in a chair, and we managed, it was okay.
Yeah, you managed, but it's not quite the same thing, right? It's not what you had planned, and I guess that's where the disappointment comes in.
Of course. But it was okay. It was nice to be together anyway.
Absolutely. Francis, listen, I'm sorry for suggesting that you were from Toronto.
Oh, no problem. I have a lot of friends in Toronto. Some days I wish I was in Toronto with all the problems here.
Well, we'd love to have you. Anytime you want to come, come visit us. But thanks for
thank
the story, Francis.
Much.
I appreciate
Bye.
It. Thanks. Bye.
Have a good holiday.
You too. We've got Gene on the line from Toronto. He went to a cottage and the chef made gravy, but not the right way. Gene,
exactly
how are you?
When I was about 13 years old, I'm almost 80 now, we went up to the cottage all the time for Christmas dinner. And my mother took everything. She took the turkey and all the stuff for dinner. And she took the flour and the sugar. And she put them all in little paper bags, all the flour and the sugar and Dreft detergent. That's what they had in those days. And she made the gravy with Dreft soap suds.
Wow.
And it went right up to the ceiling, and everybody was mad because there was no gravy to go with the turkey. There's my story. I love your show. This is really good.
Oh, thank you, Gene. That's very nice of you. I thought you were going to tell me that you ate the gravy and you just said, "Mom, that's the best gravy ever."
No. It went right up to the ceiling and bubbled.
That's amazing. Well, Jean, thanks so much.
Okay,
I love that
I'm
story. You're in Toronto. And thanks for listening, and thanks for being so nice. We'll
okay,
talk to you
thanks
soon.
A lot.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Any stories that you have about, you know, Christmas is gone sideways, give me a call. 1-855-633-1010. Zach has a story, though, about a terrible Christmas situation. Producer Zach, what happened to you?
So, long story short, it was about, I want to say 10 years ago or so, and, you know, big family gathering, yep. You know, the usual typical Christmas, and my cousin, who is about, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to put him out, but...
it was John, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll go with John.
Okay.
Sure. He was about 4 years old at the time, and basically right before dinner was about to be cooked, done, ready to go, I don't know how to say this politely. He took a dump on the stairs.
In
the middle of the...
John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as... And on top of that, to make matters worse, while everyone, all the adults, were freaking out and trying to clean it up and get the situation sorted out, everyone forgot about the turkey.
Oh.
So the turkey was massively overcooked. It was dry. Hilarious looking back, but at the time, not a very fun Christmas.
It's like that National Lampoon Christmas turkey where he goes to cut the turkey and it's just so dry it just dissolves. I love that.
Exactly.
I had a story about not a Christmas dinner, but a Christmas when I was a kid, and I got one of those pedal cars. You know those pedal cars that were sort of like a kid size. You could pedal. You could go pretty fast in them. And I grew up in this house that was on top of an apartment that was on top of a big store that my dad owned. And so he gave me this thing, and we were on the top floor, and I drove it around, and I drove it in a couple of circles, and then I got a head of steam up, and I was heading straight down, and I headed towards the stairs, and I realized, I don't know where the brakes are. Are there any brakes? And the last thing I really remember is flying out over this very steep set of stairs, landing and crashing and ruining my favorite Christmas gift ever, the push car or the pedal car, and it didn't make it through till Boxing Day. Oh, well. I haven't driven a car since then. I still don't drive. If you have any stories, let us know. 1-855-633-1010 about Christmases that just haven't really worked out very well for you. You know, I love the idea that Jean's mother made the gravy with soap, because it's just the kind of thing that would happen. There's probably a lot of stuff happening at Christmas. You grab the bag, you've made the gravy 1,000 times. Everyone loves Jean's mom's gravy, and you go to do it, and just you get this image in your head, and she was so great the way she described it with the bubbles going up to the ceiling, like gravy bubbles, gravy soap bubbles going up to the ceiling. It's kind of an incredible image, one that I think belongs in a movie. So, Gene, I may borrow that for when I write my big Christmas epic movie. Lots of fun talking about ruined Christmases. Maybe we'll get to this. I'm in a little bit next week for Jim. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more. But when we come back, we're going to talk with Dan Riskin. He's the CTV science analyst, and, well, we like to call him the Batman because he's got a PhD in bats and all things bats. I don't know. Dan Riskin will be here, and we're going to talk about movies and science together. He's a lot of fun, and he's so much smarter than me that I'm looking forward to appearing to be smarter than I actually am just by talking to him. I'm Richard Krause, in for Jim Richards on News Talk Tonight. Stay with me.
You're listening to News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
That's big, important music for a big, important guest in this segment. Joining me in this segment, we're talking with Dan Riskin. I'm Richard Krause, by the way, sitting in for Jim Richards. He's feeling under the weather today, but he'll be back soon. Dan Riskin is joining me. You know him as the CTV science analyst, a.k.a. Batman. And Dan, are you there?
Oh yeah, I'm here. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I've been looking forward to chatting with you. Like, it's been a long time since we've chatted, and I've been looking forward to this. So this will be great.
It has, and I have to apologize to you, because before the break, I was just sort of riffing on Batman, and I said you had a PhD in battery, and that, of course, is not correct.
No, it's not in batteries, but it is in bats. I do have a PhD in bats. You know what? Like, people call it weird things. I'll take that as long as people are saying it's bat, you know what, crazy or something like that.
Well, thanks for doing this. So we are going to do something a little different. I think we're going to talk about science fiction-based topics, and then I'm going to try and suggest some movies that you could watch to kind of get a better idea, well, at least from Hollywood, of what these science fiction tropes are, these science fiction ideas that you're going to throw out at me.
Yeah, so yeah, the way I imagine this game, and I've been like really super psyched about this, is like I'm living in the world of science, and it's just all the time I'm like, this feels like it's straight out of a movie. I don't know what movie, but it's straight out of a movie. You know the movie. So I thought what would be fun is I'm going to throw you, like, for example, an easy one to start with is a headline that was in the news this year is that we redirected an asteroid that was on a collision course towards Earth. So if we're imagining that that was the main course and I needed to pick a wine to go with it, that was a movie, what movie pairs nicely with, you know, burying myself in the literature on asteroid redirection tests? What kind of movie should I be watching at the end of the day?
Well, the obvious one that comes to mind right away is Armageddon. So you have to go.
I thought so. We'd go to Armageddon for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, and why not? Look at this cast. It's Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, Ben Affleck. It's a great cast. And it is so outrageous, so outlandish that it's one of those so bad it's great kind of movies. There's also Deep Impact, which came out, I think, in the same year or within the same calendar year. And that one's, I think, Robert Duvall, Elijah Woods in it, and it's about a teenage astronomer, you know, who discovers that there is an extinction level event coming their way, and they have to stop it somehow. So it's interesting that sometimes you just get movies that somehow hit the zeitgeist. There must have been something about asteroids in the atmosphere floating around, because these two movies came out at almost the same time. And are essentially kind of the same movie, although I think Armageddon is a bit more fun than Deep Impact.
Armageddon certainly is the one that people keep mentioning whenever I end up talking about asteroids. And, you know, I've never seen the movie Armageddon. Like, I've read the synopsis on Wikipedia, so I know enough not to say something dumb, but I've never actually seen it. Well, is it worth seeing?
It's worth seeing. I mean, I think you were probably too busy getting your PhD, unlike me, that was going to the up-down theater three times a day.
For a long time, I've had this philosophy that I don't want to read a book unless it might come up on Jeopardy. I just was, like, really obsessed. Like, I'll read fiction, but it has to be something that could come up on Jeopardy.
Right.
I've since loosened the reins a little bit on that and been a lot happier. That was a silly thing for me to be stuck with.
Well, what you should do is actually get on Jeopardy, and then you can free yourself of that completely. You do it once, you do it for real, and then it's off the list. It's a check mark.
I would do so badly at Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. You haven't done Jeopardy, have you?
I've never done Jeopardy. I'm bad with a buzzer.
Yeah, I'm bad with remembering the word that I need. So I'm very good at remembering the face and like, oh yeah, there's that movie with they go up to the asteroid, you know, the one. I'm that guy. That's not going to work for Jeopardy.
That's right. Okay.
Okay. Next one. Ready?
Yep.
We sent a spacecraft to the moon.
Yes.
And since we're sticking with the space, what are some good moon movies that I need to have in my roster?
Well, I think probably, you know, if you haven't seen it, one of the first movies ever made. George Lumiere made a movie, I think in like 1901 or 1902, and it was called A Trip to the Moon, and it's the famous picture that you often see of the moon, and it's got a face on it, and there's a rocket ship stuck in the eye of the moon.
I've seen that picture. That's what that's from?
Yeah, and it's a legendary bit of early filmmaking. The Lumiere brothers were the people that kind of invented cinema in a lot of ways. This is one of their early films, and it is a movie that's you know, minutes long, but it's a piece of film that was so influential that it's impact was felt, its deep impact was felt for years afterwards, and that image still pops up all the time, all over the place. A little bit more currently, maybe Apollo 11 would be a good place to start, about going to the moon.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. I like it. You know, I'm just thinking about that Lumiere movie. I mean, you can imagine when they made that movie and they had this little cutout of the moon and the rocket sticking into it. Like, nobody had ever gone to the moon, right? And now, like, you know, that was 100 years ago, 50 years ago, we went to the moon. Now we're going back to the moon. It's just, it's really cool. We perceive the moon totally differently because we all have a mental image of what it's like to stand on it. And they wouldn't have had that. It's just, I mean, they obviously would have known there wasn't a rocket sticking in someone's eye. But nonetheless, it's neat how far we've come in the time that film has been a thing.
I'm speaking with Dan Riskin, CTV science analyst. When I was a kid, I was young when they actually went to the moon, and I remember being annoyed because it preempted all television, including Mr. Dress Up, and so got ripped off by seeing Mr. Dress Up because some guy was walking on the moon.
Yeah, you dress up as an astronaut, and then that's one outfit. Mr. Dress Up could do like three different costume changes in an episode. You were ripped off.
I was.
All right, let me see about this one. This is a bit of a weird one. Okay. So this year, for a couple of different mental health problems, brain implants have come to the fore. So it's for addiction and for depression, a small implant in the brain that monitors how the brain is, what's going wrong, basically, what kind of cycles it gets into when you have basically a loss of control around depression or around addiction. And it once it sees those patterns, it can recognize when they're about to start. It learns your brain specifically, and then it fires a little jolt to prevent you from getting into those ruts. And it works really, really well. And it's pretty exciting new technology. Any movies that come to mind when I talk about that?
I think, I think of Keanu Reeves. I think of Johnny Mnemonic. And he was a courier. It was shot in Toronto that they sort of tarted up to look like a futuristic world. And I think that he uploaded information into his brain. Maybe this is a little different, but he uploaded information into his brain to act as a courier.
Oh.
Yeah. Johnny Mnemonic.
And so he could, just by bringing his brain to the place, he would have the information there.
Yeah. And there's also like a super intelligent dolphin in the movie that I remember. It's got it all.
What I like about these movies is that they're two steps ahead of the real world. Like, we're just getting up to the brain implants, and it's like, give this a couple of years, you'll have dolphins. Well, there will be dolphins evolved. You don't know how yet.
Speculative fiction, I think, is so interesting for that. It has always got one eye towards the future. And even though when you see drawings of what a computer will look like, but they're a drawing from 1940s. They're big, clunky, they're wild things. But the idea of what they could do is kind of what we have today.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do think that there's a lot to be learned. And it's cool the way artists and creative people come up with these ideas, and then the scientists and the engineers sort of make them happen. I really like that. Okay, here's another headline from this year. This is one that that Moore in the Morning, John Moore's producer, Joe Cristiano, put on my radar. And it's that in the last 40 years, as far as we can tell, sperm counts around the world have dropped roughly in half. So it's as though men are losing their fertility. We don't exactly know whether that's an artifact or whether it is a real thing. And we don't know if it's going to continue, but it's something that a lot of people are getting kind of worked up about, is that if you count the sperm now, you get a number that's about half of what you used to get 40 years ago. Any movies come to mind for that?
Well, here's the thing, Dan. We've only got 25 seconds left in this segment. When we come back on the other side, though, I will have a movie for you. Dan Riskin, CTV science analyst, is with me. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. He's under the weather. He'll be back soon on News Talk Tonight. Stay with me. We're going to find out some movie titles, some more science questions that Dan's going to throw at me, and I'm going to come up with movies to watch. Stay with me. Lots more to come.